Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune. I'm a realtor right here in lovely Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And please hit that like button, subscribe to the show if you like this content. If you're on YouTube, leave a little comment. I try to reply to all the comments. That's not a great way to communicate with me. Like, if you're wanting to communicate with me, use the contact info in my show notes. But I do try to interact with all my commenters. Any of those things you can do to support the show, I would greatly appreciate. Today, we're going to be talking about termites. I'm going to share a few stories with you guys because this is something we need to talk about, right? Because I've had recently multiple experiences with termites and with local termite companies that aren't very competent. And one in particular that is, who I'll give a shout out to in a little bit. But if you buy and sell real estate in South Carolina, you will talk about termites at some point because the southeastern portion of the U.S. is a termite hotspot. It's one of the hottest parts of the entire U.S. for termites. And I guess I'm no expert, which I'm going to give a little bit of a warning about here in a second. But termites apparently love our climate. I think that they like warmer, moister climates. And so the result is that termites are a bigger issue in South Carolina than they are in many of the states people are moving here to South Carolina from, including states like New York, Illinois, even parts of California, even though my understanding is that California does have termite issues. In fact, I have a client who moved here from California, and she had termites in her house in California. So, but South Carolina, generally speaking, is a hotspot in comparison to those other states. Now, as I already alluded to, I'm not going to pretend to be a termite expert, but I have learned some things about these bugs over the years. But I know for a fact that some inspectors do listen to the show. And so if you get angry that I'm not using very technical terminology, understand that I'm just trying to explain some things in layman's terms, okay? If you want to correct me on the technicalities and the exact verbiage I'm supposed to use, that's fine. Say something about that in the comments on the show, and I'll get a good laugh out of that. So termites, these are odd creatures, to be completely honest. A lot of people don't know much about them, but they mostly live in the ground, as I understand it, and they emerge, generally speaking, by building mud tubes or tunnels up from the ground up to a food or water source, which then allows them to infest that area and get nourishment for their colony. Now, as most people know, termites are famous for one thing, and that is they eat wood, which is the primary structural component of most homes that are built in the United States. But it's important to understand that there is some nuance to the termite thing, right? I hear people freak out about termites, and I just want to clarify something right away. Just because termites are present in a home doesn't mean that what they are eating in the home is actually structural. And just because also there are termite tubes present, you know, perhaps in a crawl space or who knows where, that doesn't inherently mean that there is an actual present infestation in the house. Although, if an inspector sees a tube, he is required, if it's an inspector doing a termite letter, or what is more specifically what we call the CL-100, he has to report that, or she has to report that, as an active infestation, just if there's a tube that is no longer being utilized by termites. That's still considered an active infestation for the purposes of a termite letter. So those are a couple of things just to understand, right? Because I feel like nuance is necessary with termites, because obviously no termites good, active termites bad, but there is a spectrum to all of this, as there are to many things. Now, here's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. Termites and the damage they cause are not covered by homeowners insurance. Why? Well, A, termites, your homeowners insurance, if you look at it, it will specify what the covered losses are, okay? And it doesn't specify termites. But more specifically, if you want to understand how homeowners insurance works, there are two things besides the policy listing out what is covered and what isn't. There are two things that are kind of good rules of thumbs for what homeowners insurance covers versus what it doesn't, okay? And the rules of thumbs are that any damage that happens must be sudden and it must be accidental, right? The accidental part is important because you could suddenly have a fire because you set your house on fire on purpose in order to have an insurance claim. It has to be accidental. It has to be something you didn't cause, and it has to be sudden. So if you got a basement and water's been seeping into that basement for a while, that's not covered, right? That would be a flood insurance claim. And honestly, your flood insurance probably isn't going to cover that either. So it's important to understand it's got to be sudden and it's got to be accidental. And termites happen gradually. They are not sudden. Now, they are accidental. You don't, unless you're raising termites in your home, which is weird. But termites, they do their damage gradually. It's not sudden. It's not a covered loss on any insurance, homeowner's insurance policy. And so they're not covered by your homeowner's insurance. So every homeowner has to make a decision when it comes to termites. What am I going to do about them, right? One option is you just hope you don't see them and you just don't do anything about it, right? You just, you know, say a prayer or just hope you get lucky. Who knows what? Just don't do anything, right? Another option, obviously, is to treat them yourself, right? To do some research. How do I treat termites? How do I prevent them? Blah, blah, blah. Or you can even pay a pest control company to do, you know, monthly or quarterly treatments. Or the third option is you can pay for an actual termite bond, which is a contract between you and a pest control company, which usually covers treatment throughout the year, as well as usually an insurance policy, essentially, against any damage the termites cause while the house is under bond. So if somehow the treatments fail, because the pest control company is going to try as much as possible to avoid termite damage happening, but if those preventative treatments were to fail and the termites did cause damage to the house, in that instance, the pest control company would be liable to pay for the damages since the house was under bond. Now, store that in the back of your head for a second, because I'm going to give you an example here in a moment where the bond was kind of useless. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, because termites are a problem in the somewhat warm climate that we have in Greenville, South Carolina, the entire state, has a CL-100 contingency, okay? That's the termite letter that I referenced before. We call it the CL-100. The CL stands for Clemson. It's a form, I guess, that they came up with. Great school, by the way. Love Clemson. Go Clemson. So South Carolina has a CL-100 contingency that is separate from the buyer's due diligence period, right? The due diligence period is the primary period of time whereby a buyer performs inspections and decides if they want to move forward with their contract. And usually that's when you're negotiating repairs that the seller might do, et cetera, et cetera. But let's say that due diligence period, which is typically the first 10 to 14 days that you're under contract, let's say that expires. You can still have your inspection for termites later and have that CL-100 dated later. In fact, you have to have it dated within 30 days of closing, and you're still covered by that contingency. What does that mean? Well, it can mean different things, but in essence, let's say that you discover that there is an active termite infestation when that CL-100 inspection is performed. The seller is on the hook potentially to have to remediate, treat, and repair anything that was damaged by the termites, okay? In theory. Now, again, a lot depends on how a contract's written. There's a lot of, the devil is in the details, right? So that's something to ask. If I'm your realtor, ask me for more specifics. Or if you are a realtor, ask your pest control company and go about it that way. Now, I've been a big believer for the past several years in termite bonds that cover both treatments and repairs, because I've seen so many termite issues in recent years, especially on old houses, which, I mean, let me tell you, if we have some of these mill houses that were built back in like the 40s and 50s, they are just about guaranteed to have had termites in them at some point, because they were, for years and years and years, people were not doing active treatments. There weren't, you know, there wasn't as much understanding of termites 100 years ago as there are now, or even 80 years ago or 70 years ago. Pretty much every old house has termite damage in it, unless it's been completely reframed. And I've seen some of that, too. I've seen some homes that have been completely reframed due to termites, which is a sad thing when that has to happen. But I've learned that just because you say that you have a termite service or have a termite bond with a pest control company doesn't mean that you're fully protected. So let me tell you some termite stories. I told you guys I'd tell you some stories. People love stories. All right. The first one is about my mom, who, hi, mom. By the way, is a great cleaner in the upstate if you need a house cleaner. Let me know. Feel free. Text me. I'll give you her information. But my mom purchased her house last year, and it came with a transferable termite bond, which is great. That's one of the nice things about these contracts. You pay a heavy fee up front for the termite bond, but then after that, you renew it every year for a much smaller fee, typically. And sometimes there might be payments along the way. Every company does it a little bit differently. But these are transferable as well. So they can be transferred. You sell the house, you can transfer it on to the new owner. And now that owner has a termite bond that they just have to pay the renewal fee in order to have it, or a transfer fee to have it transferred to them. So her home came with a transferable termite bond. And after closing, of course, she contacted the termite company, which is a smaller company that I hadn't dealt with personally. She asked them to transfer the bond over. Well, it was a bit difficult getting it done, more difficult than it should have been. And in the end, she had to leave them a check at her house for them to pick up for the transfer fee. And then we never heard back from them. We got, you know, the check was gone. We assumed that they got it. And that was that. So that was kind of weird. So then she reached back out to them for follow-up, and they were extremely unresponsive. I'm not going to say who the company was. They were very unresponsive. My mom asked for proof that the coverage was transferred over to her, and the proof that they sent had the previous owner's name on it. Well, that might be okay. You know, it had the address on it, but it did not have her name on it. It had the previous owner's name on it. Could be okay, but it could also be a way for the pest control company to try to wiggle their way out of the termite bond if damages were to occur. And as someone who deals with contracts every single day, I really didn't feel comfortable with her having a bond that didn't have her name on it. I mean, who has a contract for themselves without their name on it? That doesn't make sense. I don't like that. Additionally, we noticed that there were no termite bait stations around her house, as are typically placed in the ground when a home is under termite bond. So that was also kind of a weird, like, okay, I know there's multiple ways to treat termites, but that's really the most standard way that companies do when they have a bond contract. So my mom called for clarification on what sort of treatments they were doing or had done at her house. And quite frankly, she didn't get a clear response from them. So she asked for them to come over and show what they had treated at her house. We also asked how much they covered in terms of repairs, and we didn't get a clear answer on that either. So just a lack of clarity, right? This should be very straightforward. Our coverage is this. Our treatment is this. This is what we're going to continue to do. Here's your contract. It has your name on it. It's just starting to add up, right? That something feels wrong. Well, so my mom asked for them to come over and show her where they had treated her house. Well, that became a big ordeal, and it was next to impossible to get them to come out. Now, it's somewhat understandable that they wouldn't want to do extra work that they won't be paid for at all, right? But that made me concerned that they would be even less motivated if a termite problem were discovered in the future. If they won't come over for something easy that'll just take 5 minutes, what will they do when something hard and potentially very costly to them, like major termite damage, happens? Don't feel great about it. So long story short, my mom ended up switching to another company, my go-to, which is Dixon Pest, who I know to be reliable and honest. They're who I use for all my properties. And even though they are not a show sponsor, I'm giving them a shout out here, and maybe they will become a sponsor in the future. I've also done an interview with them as well, which you can listen to, which at the end of the episode, I will tell you what which episode that is if you have a hard time finding it. But I digress. Okay, back to the termites. These bugs are tricky, okay? My mom got her situation figured out, okay? And thankfully, there weren't any issues once she switched over to Dixon Pest. But these bugs are tricky, and they even found a way to evade the termite bait stations at my own house, okay? And as I've already said, I am a believer in termite bonds. So I obviously have one on my primary residence. In fact, it was under bond with a large, very reputable pest control company when I purchased the home, but they were charging way, way, way too much. So I switched over to, again, my go-to, who I already said is Dixon Pest. And so both before I purchased it and then after I switched over my service, there were termite bait stations all around the house. Strangely, what I learned in this process is that the pest control companies lease the termite bait stations. They don't own them. I have no idea how that makes any sense for them, but I guess it does. So literally when I switched service, the old company had to remove their bait stations and Dixon Pest put in theirs. So anyway, the bait station should obviously divert the termites from the house itself, right? That's the whole idea. So you can imagine our surprise when one day in our sunroom, we suddenly start to see termites emerging onto the floor, mostly dead, okay? Squirming a little bit, but pretty much dead. They're really not designed to just be just out there like that. In fact, they try to avoid, they're tricky creatures, my understanding. They try to avoid areas where they could be spotted. They have some kind of an instinct for that. Because there are animals that, you know, birds and whatnot that will eat them. And obviously humans will try to eliminate them too. So they have a few natural threats in addition to humans. They try to stay in the dark so that nobody will catch them. So in my entire life, okay, and I have seen some crazy things, I had never seen termites emerge inside of a house like that, especially in a house that was receiving termite treatments, right? Bait stations all over the place. And I just want to be clear, none of this was Dixon Pest's fault, and I'm not blaming them for any of this. I just think it was a quirk thing, okay? Those bait stations, they aren't perfect, right? They're not going to catch everything, and that's why having the bond is helpful, right? As opposed to just doing the treatments, okay? So anyway, at first, when I saw them, I was in denial, right? I was like, there's just no way. There's no way that they found a way into this house. But when I looked at them, they most definitely were termites. So here's the great thing. Since I was under termite bond, I did not have to pay anything for them to get treated. Dixon Pest came out, did a special treatment to kill them off, took a few days, and covered any damage that was caused by their treatment, because they had to take some stuff up in order to treat them, had to cut into some sheetrock, and any damages caused by the termites was also covered by them via the termite bond. And thankfully, none of the damage was significant, so it wasn't a situation where we had to move out of the house. The only thing that was inconvenient was we had to move out our refrigerator, because basically my sunroom and my kitchen butt up against each other, and the refrigerator is on a wall shared between the two rooms. And this is, as it turns out, is how they got in the house in the first place. So my sunroom is an add-on to my original brick ranch with a basement house. And what they did was they snuck under my deck, under my sunroom, and came in right at the threshold of my original house, basically in between the sunroom and in between the original house. That was where they crept up. There was no way for us to even see them, right? Because again, I have my house, sunroom, deck, okay? There is no way for me to have any clue that there would be termites anywhere near there. And I don't know how they evaded the bait stations that are all around my house, but I do know that what attracted them was my refrigerator, which, again, is against the wall that is shared by both the kitchen and the sunroom. What was happening was my refrigerator was leaking. And they, as it turns out, are attracted to water. Now, I had seen some water occasionally under my refrigerator, but I just thought this was just because my kids were leaving the freezer door partially open, causing the ice to thaw and then melt on the floor. It was very annoying, but it was, you know, it was just one of those things. But we realized after this incident, well, I realized it. My wife was already convinced it was a leak, I had to be convinced, as is often the case. I finally realized that the refrigerator was just leaking. It was just a problem. I think it was at the filter. There was something that was just, and we had tried multiple filters. I think it was just leaking out right there. So, unfortunately, I did have to replace my entire refrigerator, right? I wasn't going to try to repair it. It's just not worth it, in my opinion. I didn't really care for the refrigerator. So we just went ahead and replaced it, which was frustrating, very expensive. Fridges are insanely expensive right now. But the good news is that now we have a much nicer refrigerator. So, silver linings, I guess. But around that time that all this was happening, I had clients who were purchasing a house that they had had multiple inspections done to. They had had multiple people, both inspectors and contractors, who had gone in the crawl space and had looked everywhere down there, at least we thought, and nobody had seen any termite issues. Well, this was a longer transaction than most, one that had kind of an ambiguous closing date. So we had to wait to schedule the CL100 for a little bit later in the transaction, right? Because as I already said before, it can't be dated earlier than 30 days prior to closing. So the termite inspection was the very last inspection that was done on the house several weeks after all the other inspections were done. And wouldn't you know it, the inspector found termite tubes and old termite damage. And this was, we're like a week prior to closing right now. So now the question is, what are we going to do about it? Well, thankfully the sellers had it under termite bonds. We notified them and they had the termite company go out and address it. But it wasn't particularly clear what the company had done or what their bond even covered, right? Because one of my jobs as a buyer's agent is I want to make sure that my client, okay, we have this inspection done. All right, it revealed that the seller has to do something here. They have a termite tube that needs to be taken care of. And part of my job as a buyer agent is to make sure that my client doesn't buy that house and then down the road find that there was some sort of unrepaired thing that should have been covered by the seller, but now it's too late, right? Because once you buy the house, it's pretty much impossible to force a seller to make repairs like that, particularly if it's not something that the seller was aware of. And we can't make the seller aware of damages unless we have something in writing. In the CL100, they will put a few different things on there, but they're not going to go into oftentimes a ton of specifics on like, okay, is it structural damage or not? That's really outside the scope of the CL100. They're not giving opinions. They're simply observing. Here's what the termites did. So both myself and the buyers had multiple conversations with the pest company that had the termite bond on this house until we finally realized that the termite bond that the seller had did not include any repairs. It only included retreatment, okay? Retreating the area that sprung a new infestation, which apparently is known in the industry as a retreatment bond rather than a repair bond. So the pest control company wouldn't state that there was any damage. And even if there was, they weren't on the hook to repair it per their contract with the seller. All they did was they went out and removed the termite tubes. They just scrubbed the termite tubes and called it a day. That was it. So this opened up a can of worms, to introduce another bug to this conversation. Opened up a whole new can of worms, because now we needed to figure out how much damage the termites caused, but we were so close to closing that we were nearly out of time to figure it all out. And it's really not a difficult question to answer in a vacuum, but it can be difficult to get someone qualified out to the home quickly enough in order to give an answer when you're in a time crunch, because a lot of these inspectors are booked out. And what we really needed was someone who could inspect the area for damages, give us a common sense breakdown of how bad it was or could be. And common sense is important, right? Because as I've already said, termites don't always cause structural damage, right? There needs to be a common sense element, right, in the assessment. And then we also needed, ideally, for that person, and if not that person, I needed to find another person, potentially, to provide us a quote if the damages were significant or structural. Now, again, time was our enemy, and I had to spend several hours one day, like I had to clear my schedule one day to call a long list of inspectors and contractors who might be able to help us out with this. And thank God I was able to find one who could go out the next day. He's a very well-respected inspector in the area, also a licensed contractor who could quote and do repairs. So it was a really, I'm going to say, a providential solution that took me some time to figure out. But once I figured it out, I felt really, really good. Except that now it was, okay, what's he going to find? And also this inspector is known for being really, really thorough and really, really strict. So there's that too. So he went out, I met him at the house, and I kid you not, he banged over that crawl space so much, to, you know, basically to feel if the wood in the crawl space is soft or not, which is, you know, one way to assess if there's termite damage. He was banging so loudly down there that I joked with my client that it sounded like we were inside of an MRI machine. I mean, it was crazy. Very thorough. I think he banged on every wooden member in that home. And in the end, we got the best news possible. There were no termites down there, and although no active termites, and although there was damage throughout the crawl space, none of it was structural or of any concern to the inspector. So we were able to have closing the next week, thank goodness, without further incident. All of these things, these three stories that I just told you, all happened in just the past few months. And quite frankly, I am tired of termites and wouldn't mind if they find some other houses to feed on for the remainder of the year. Stay away from my clients, you crazy bugs. Get away. I don't like you. Find a forest or something. I don't know. But a big thing that I learned through all of this, I learned a lot, and hopefully you did too. Big thing that I learned through all of this, beyond what I just learned about the termites themselves, is that many of our local pest control companies are unprofessional, and many people are paying for termite bonds that are either overpriced or don't, like, really cover any damages. So that's really important. People, you know, if you're talking to a pest control company, ask the right questions. Ask them what the termite bond covers. Does it cover repairs if there are damages? What are the coverage limits? If they tell you it's an unlimited coverage limit, which was something that I heard multiple times over the process of some of these stories, both with my mom's house and with my client's house, we heard something that sounded like they were saying they cover everything. None of them can cover. There's no such thing as unlimited coverage, okay? And there's a very simple reason why. These termite companies, they have to be insured. Otherwise, they could be bankrupted. Let's say that, you know, they do a bond on a $3 million home in the cliffs that gets eaten up by termites. A lot of these pest control companies don't have a ton of money just sitting in the bank. So what are they going to do? Well, they have insurance. Well, insurance isn't going to cover you for unlimited damages. That's just not how insurance works, ever. And so that's a tell. If they say that they will repair anything, No. I need to see what your actual limit is. If they say that there is no limit, they are probably not being honest with you, or they don't know what they're talking about, or you guys have misunderstood each other. Those are the only options. So there you have it. That's all that I want to say about termites. I actually have to go. I have friends coming over. High school friend, actually, Luke. I don't think you're listening to this, but if you are, looking forward to seeing you here in a few minutes. But if you want to learn more about termites, I did interview Andrew Dixon of Dixon Pest in episode 207. That was over a year ago. So feel free to give episode 207 of this show a listen after this one if you want to learn more about termites. We talked about a lot more than just termites in that show, but obviously that was a big topic. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this content. If you did, please like, subscribe, download episodes, all those good things. And please contact me if you need a realtor. My contact information is in the show notes, and I would love to hear from you guys, right? I've gotten actually several phone calls recently from people listening to the show. Thank you guys. Even people that aren't moving here, that are just listeners one way or another, I appreciate that. Just let me know. All those things are good. So thank you guys for listening, and we will talk again next time.